L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
No, I'm owning all of me. I can show I can show I can be in a suit. I can do all of that. I'm not in a respectability politics. I never was.
Angie Martinez in Real Life Podcast.
Hi, Janelle.
Hi, Angie. Oh, my God. I'm finally here. Congratulations. Because I met you at the beginning of my career, and we were both moving in different spaces, but you have your own shit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
like,
mine.
I did amazing.
Mine. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But own in like a deeper, even deep. You know what I mean? Like, it goes even deeper, which is a testament to, I need to interview you, your evolution.
What would you like to talk about today? No, let me start. And then if at some point tables turn, I'm all the way all open to that.
Okay, cool.
Well, first of all, one of the reasons I'm so excited about talking to you on this platform is that you're such a artist, right? You're so, you know, you give us fantasy and like space. And like, no, you take us on a ride, which is what we love about you. And that's a beautiful thing to offer as an artist. But when we're talking about real life and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's going on inside there and how you're navigating? I mean, just everyday Janelle Monáe, like, what are your challenges? What are you, what are your life mantras? And, you know, things like that. But I guess we start. I always ask this question to everybody on the show. It's like,
okay.
Because I think there's nothing realer than today. How, like, today on a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
Ooh, today. On a scale of 1 to 10.
Honestly.
You know what? It started off on a, like, 4 when I woke up.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But you would say you should be on a 10 because of life. You've been given life.
Yeah, but so what?
We don't always. But when we wake up, I have to train my mind to find joy, to see the joy and find the gratitude in the littlest things. Because I looked at my schedule and I was like, oh my God, I'm going. And I'm like, I want to be having this level of conversation. I want to be, but. You know, you're talking about something you love. So to answer your question, I know you're probably like, girl, get to the point.
No, never.
I would say I'm on 100.
Right now?
I'm on 100. And let me tell you why. Because all we have is right now.
Mm.
There was a point in time in my life where I would be thinking so much about the future that it was giving me anxiety. Mm. So much about, okay, well, what did I do wrong? What the past? That it was keeping me still, you know, depressed, thinking about what coulda, shoulda.
Like recent or like?
You know, maybe like the past couple years back, me. I'm a new updated version of myself.
I heard you say that earlier on your song. I heard you say that on Flow.
I've updated my code and everything. But.
So
I'm present.
You're not doing that.
So I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I'm present, I'm happy. When I'm engaging with you, I'm happy. This is great.
Yeah. It's crazy because we always hear that. Be in the now. Be in the present. That's the key to happiness. And you hear it. But until you learn to actually exercise it,
yeah,
you don't experience it.
Yeah.
But then when you do, it's like, oh, there's really something to being present. And that directly being connected to how happy you are. And how,
yeah. Yeah. You got to train. Like, people think that you wake up and you have this free-ass motherfucker energy, right?
You give that.
Right?
You give those
but
vibes.
But I have to, it's a muscle. I have to remember and remind myself that my inner voice, like, what I think about me is the alpha, is the omega. It's nothing that another person can tell me about me that I don't know. You don't know me more than I know me. Mm-hmm. You don't define my joy or my happiness. Does that make sense? Like,
yes.
It's great when people are complimenting you and giving you love or criticizing you, which is always not so great, right?
Not great.
It's not.
It
don't feel good, right? But how I think about me, my inner voice is the loudest voice inside of me in my head. It's the final say. That's
how,
it.
How though? Like, how does that work?
That's it.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
because
every day, like,
it.
You...
Yeah, I believe that. We tell ourselves stories all the time.
Yeah.
Whether it's to cope, whether it's to be in a delusional ass relationship you want to be. That's just an example.
Why do we do that?
We tell ourselves stories. So why wouldn't I tell myself the story of what I say Janelle Monáe is? I'm the author of that.
Okay, what do you say she is? Like, what is your thing you tell yourself?
Well, she, they, them. Free ass motherfucker. I am not above making mistakes. Mm-hmm. I'm not perfect. I have no desire to be perfect. I'm very talented. Mm-hmm. I have a lot to offer. I have a lot to say. At my core, when I'm not, you know, in ego, like, I'm a beautiful person. Mm-hmm. I'm a giving person. I have a humble spirit. I'm funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving. I am. Did I already say that?
Talk all that.
Probably
shit.
Probably. I'm giving. layered. I'm complex.
But does ever the little voice, other little negative voices come inside and try to get in there?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I can be, if I'm moving in a spirit of like insecurity. I'm capable. We are all capable. Of not being the best version mm-hmm. of ourselves, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. We're all capable of it. And you just have to know that, and you got to check it every time. Like, you got some shit you need to deal with.
You got some stuff you need to iron out.
Yeah, you got some stuff you got to talk about to yourself, with yourself.
So you do this often. This is like a thing you do.
I guess we all
do to a certain extent. It's just what stories do we tell ourselves, right? Like, what do we need? What does our day require?
You got to tell yourself something.
We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I was telling you about why I was doing this podcast and stuff, and saying that this project is like the first time I'm experimenting. I would always say, you know, God knows best. I follow.
Yeah.
I would say those things. Mm. I never really had a full project where I fully submit to letting it be what it is.
Right.
And it's a different feeling when you mm-hmm. do a project or you do anything that way. Mm-hmm. When you surrender to like what it's mm-hmm. supposed to be. Like mm-hmm. I was telling you this, if you called me downstairs and were like, you know what? My spirit's telling me I don't feel like talking today.
Right. And you'll just cancel something.
Old me might have been like, oh my gosh, I just paid for this crew. And is it but right. Now I kind of be like, okay, our spirit's not telling us.
Ooh.
And it's so freeing to have that. But when I look at you as an artist, I feel like maybe you operate like that all the time. Like, just based on what you present as.
Like,
I don't know if that's true.
I feel like doing this today.
No,
please,
not that. But that
go.
You
no.
are free. You seem to be free with your art, free with your, and I would imagine that's part of it, no?
Yeah, you know, listen, I'll be completely honest with you. I mean, I have guilt about canceling stuff or not even canceling, but like postponing mm-hmm. to a time where my energy, I have the space for it.
Yeah.
Because the truth of the matter is, there are moments when I get overwhelmed. Like, I know people see me acting, they see me singing, writing books, doing all these, like, telling stories, doing these amazing things, having these amazing opportunities. But with that comes, like, I have to make sure that I haven't put too much on my plate.
Yeah.
So there are moments where I have to say no to certain things. And then I'm like, oh, did I say no to the wrong thing? Or should I can do it. I can do it. And then you push yourself and then you don't enjoy the experience because you've decided to, at the same time, have all of your worlds collide. And I've felt that before. And I'm like you. I am just now learning to, like, honor my inner gut, my inner voice, in a way that I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I think that we're in this business and people say, well, you have to do it like this. You need to do it like this. This is how it's done. Go here, go here, go. Work, 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 work. Do never come across like you're not a hard worker. Because you need to work. You need to do. And that's the family I came from. Mm-hmm,
me too.
I grew up, my parents worked.
They got, like, it wrong a little bit, right? They got it wrong. We bought into it for many years.
But I feel like they did what they needed to do to provide, mm-hmm. right? Like, I would never, ever, you know, say my mother exemplifying, you know, she was a maid before a custodian. Like, she was doing so many different things to provide for us. And you saw that and you just were like, work, 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 right? But I think at a certain point, we got to say, how do we redesign a life to where we're working and we're also making it fun?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I'm on. I've mm-hmm. had meetings with my team. I'm like, listen, this has got to be fun.
Yeah.
Like, where's the DJ on the set or the photo shoot? But we're doing meetings. We need in-person. Where the drinks at? Like, if you need to be smoking to calm you down, okay, go get your weed, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
We're creating our own worlds, right?
Yeah.
So why not make it
fun.
Enjoyable.
This is it. This is the one time. This is it.
I refuse.
Yeah.
So I do. I've had to make that choice. And sometimes people who get it, like, you get it. We get it. Yeah. We were talking about this outside of starting. But before, by ourselves, we were just, you know, I loved knowing that you were in the space of creating an environment that works for you now. Not what worked in the past. Yeah. But what works now.
Right.
What are we feeling now?
It only could be honest if it's moving, because we're always moving. Like, we're evolving, pivoting, changing, learning. And if what you're doing doesn't reflect that, it's not really fully honest.
It's not honest.
You can't be fully honest.
And you're in constant conflict of who you are now and what you think you're doing and what you may want to be doing.
Well, you're good. You could do a talk show.
You know, I said,
you could host this show, you know?
You know what? I'm gonna leave that to you. You you've been doing some incredible, like, interviews. And
I love
what I've been seeing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I love it too, because I feel like I learned something from everybody. I feel like there's takeaways in every episode that I remember after that, or that people I meet that listen take it and use it. That's, like, the goal. That's the only thing I care about in these conversations, that we all get something out of it, right? That's the point. But it was funny because you just talking about that, because. About, like, having fun. I had Kelly Clarkson was on the last episode.
Oh, cool.
And she said she started doing this thing where she just calls it, she just says, she said, I'm still working, but I say, I'm on vacation this week.
Mm.
So that even when she goes in to do her show, they go out for drinks after, or she'll stop at the beach on her way to work, or she finds ways to make a vacation, even though she's working, but she's living, like, in vacation mode, which I thought is...
Kelly, you are my hero.
Right. Isn't that good?
I feel like I'm still in that.
See? It's good. No, that's a good one. There's been a few gems, I'm telling you. I've picked up a few things along the way. Yeah. What are we going to pick up from you today, Janelle? I don't know, especially now, it probably always changes for you.
Uh-huh. Okay, ask me what.
What is the most recent pivot... lesson, change? What is the thing? Because everybody's in the middle of something.
Yeah.
Like, what is the thing that's
working,
like,
it out.
Motivate, like, moving you now?
You know, it is, just speaking, like, when we were talking about Kelly Clarkson and redesigning.
Yeah.
Not being afraid to if I'm holding myself accountable.
Yeah.
For my energy.
Uh-huh.
Because here's the thing. Once you experience peace, there's no going back from that.
Mm.
Meaning when you're not operating, I'll just speak for myself.
Yeah.
There was a time in my life where I was extremely, like, bent on being, like, being a perfectionist from my the way that I performed to whatever you saw, like, wait, if what's not going on in my head is not here, it's trash. Mm-hmm. It's done.
Right.
And I would go back and have these breakdowns because I literally was trying in my head, like I saw something and I was like, if it didn't get to that level, there was nothing
salvageable
about it that I wanted to keep.
Yeah.
And I'm realizing that because I've watched other people do that. Mm. And I'm like, that's not why I like you, because you're perfect. I like seeing how you got up from that. Like, I want to know the backstory, the coaching that you had to give yourself to become the champion that you are. Mm. Like, it's not in the perfection that I'm moved. It's everything that went into the moment where you fell down and you decided to get the fuck back up.
And you were honest enough to let me see you fall down.
And you let me see that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand how powerful that is?
Yeah.
That is what the world, in my opinion, I'm not going to say the world, but those are the conversations and the things that we need to see.
Yeah.
We need to know the behind the scenes of what it took for you to get there. In that moment when you were not at your best, what were you telling yourself? Those are the moments mm-hmm. that I've been most impacted by, and those are the moments that I'm allowing myself to have, that I'm surrendering to, that I am.
When was one of those moments for you?
When was one of those moments?
Because we might not see it.
Y'all don't see it. Like, they don't always happen on a stage.
Yeah.
They happen privately. They can happen when you're in a meeting. They can happen when, you know, perhaps you had a run-in at a photo shoot. There was a photo shoot that I had where I had to apologize 2 years after it for, you know, for being super, like, closed off, standoff, not trusting, because I wanted it to go how I wanted it to go. Mm-hmm. So I built up a whole wall. I was like, only talk to my team. I don't want to engage, because I was just, like, overwhelmed. And I also was dealing with some real anxiety that I didn't know was happening. Like, I was having, I guess, anxiety meltdowns. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want anybody to see me in that way. So it came across as, like, standoffish, but I was dealing with some mental health issues perhaps challenges that I didn't quite understand how to coach myself through. And an editor that I wanted, there was a magazine that I wanted to do again, and they brought that up. Mm. They brought it up to my PR team, and it was tough to hear.
Was your instinct
how they talked about my behavior?
But
it wasn't anything that I said. It was just how I made them feel.
Mm.
And all I had to do, I mean, all I could do was be like, that was a time in my life where I was striving for perfection. I wanted it to done my way. I didn't trust them. I didn't see them. I just wanted what I wanted from the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do that, but you have to understand how that impacts other people. Mm-hmm. They're looking at it like, oh, you don't respect my job. You don't respect who I am.
Yeah.
And they took, and I had to just take that. They were like, you know, you stayed in the room. You didn't want to communicate with anybody. You didn't want to talk to my assistant.
Yeah.
My assistant cried.
You made somebody cry.
It made me cry.
Aww.
I started crying because I'm like, oh my God, I didn't want to make that person, I didn't want to make her feel that at all, that her experience, and she loved me. Her experience with me where I made her cry because I was trying to be perfect.
Mm.
And I was like, everybody, get out of the way. This is how we get to perfection.
Right. Only I know.
Let me work.
Yeah.
And it wasn't right. It wasn't the right energy.
I feel all of that, and that probably is what caused some of that anxiety. There is a thing, though, about an artist and that little voice in your head and having vision and not settling, because these are all things we're told, right?
Yeah.
We're told all those things. So how do you know when to fight for what that thing is, yeah. And when to fall back.
Oh, like you trust your gut, your instinct, yeah, yeah. And sometimes it'll show up and reveal itself. Like this is right. We need to be going here, and that's a lot of what art is about. Like making art is hard.
Well, I heard the album because I got that early last night. It was so good. By the way, Brittany was there. We have some footage of you. I wish you guys were all there so you could know what I'm talking about, the vibes I'm talking about.
Where's my phone? Can somebody bring my phone in? I have a whole notes.
What do you mean?
You do notes like the on the notes?
I have a zillion.
Where you have
notes.
Things
I have Janelle Monáe notes.
Even
last night when I was at the listening, I was writing notes.
Oh, were you writing notes?
I only wrote like two notes.
These are things that I've had to write down. Like when I am in my, when I forget. Because sometimes we want to go back to our old versions of ourselves. I don't know if you know that or not. You know that.
No, but please break that down for me.
No, like you want to go back.
I feel like I'm in my life, I have a little bit of that happening.
Yeah, like we're familiar with how we used to operate.
Yes.
But when you've evolved, you got to really practice what you're preaching, what you're saying. So these are my notes.
But wait, please. I want you to finish that thought.
Oh, what was I saying? What was I saying?
You said when you're evolving,
we want to go back to our old version.
You know, the body's like that too. Like if you're average 160 pounds, and you lose 10 pounds, your body,
wants
to go back to 160. So it's very hard to get to a new weight. I know this because I was dieting my whole life.
No, that's true.
Not anymore. But
I get it.
But
I'm in my thick season right now. Like, for me.
For you.
For me. Like, I'm in
you
my...
You like it?
I love it. I'm embracing it.
Good.
But I think we all fluctuate.
Yeah.
Like, when seasons are changing, I go through... Like, I notice my energy changing. And I go through a more stressful period. So I eat more.
Mm.
And I was watching the Lauren London interview you did where she said she's like an emotional eater.
Yeah, Twix. So when I'm stressed, I think she said Twix.
When I'm stressed, a lot of us, we're eating. So when it's going into like summer from spring or like from winter to spring, I wouldn't say a little depressed. I get like more anxious, I guess. And so I start eating more and I get more thick.
Is it the weather related?
It's weather related. I think
my
they
mother
call it
gets
seasonal
like that.
Depression.
Yeah, yeah. It's like you get a little.
And I start eating more.
Need a little more comfort.
And so my body is going to reflect that. So you might see a little bit more booty. Mm. You might see a little bit more hips. I got my little pouch.
Stop it.
I do. I mean, I'm petite, but it can get thick.
Yeah.
And I've learned, I'm like.
Ride that wave? Do you ride the wave?
When I couldn't fit them suits anymore. And I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And I would be dieting or running or exercising, trying to fit into. And I'm just like, no, we here. This is where we are. Like, we not about to be utilizing life to try to be an old version of ourselves. No matter how celebrated that version of me was, I'm here.
Mm.
I'm here.
That's so good. Because it's not just our bodies and physical. It's like you get comfortable. A lot of people do that. I see you get comfortable at a phase in your life or an accomplishment that you have or a time when you were happy.
Yeah.
Or even a relationship.
Yeah.
You could be in a relationship. But we had so many good times.
Yeah.
But if you ain't had good times in 10 years, maybe
that's true.
Maybe you want to stop
time
going.
For you to rethink.
In the 1980s, Frank Farian was riding high as a successful German music producer, but he was bored.
German pop was formulaic, dull, and oh so white. Frank had bigger dreams, American dreams. He wanted to create the kind of music that would rival larger-than-life artists like Michael Jackson or Run DMC.
So he assembled a hip-hop duo, two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? One very important element was missing, but Frank knew just how to fix that.
Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's biggest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segui, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young Black artists.
Follow Blame It on the Fame wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus.
L-A-S-I-K LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com. One place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K, LASIK.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like, what is the new version of freedom? Yeah. What does that feel like? And that's usually when I feel most free, is when artistically I can honor exactly who I am right now. I feel most free as a human when I can honor exactly who I am right now. Mm. And that's it.
And that goes back to being present, like you said, present. At the beginning of this.
Yeah.
So you seem to be very present on this album in terms of, like, you just sound free and like you're having fun.
I mean, that's exactly where I'm at. I just remember you're taking me back to even creating the project. Like, so a lot of the songs you heard was inspired by experiences that I had because my friends could not find a venue to have parties. Everyday People, shout out to Everyday People. It's here in New York. They go to L.A. They're in the continent, Africa, like, all around, and it is the most beautiful Black and brown people you have ever seen.
Everyday people.
Partying. Mm-hmm. Strangers looking at each other, smiling, hugging. It goes from 4 p.m. to 6 in the morning, 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. My friends couldn't find a venue, and I was like, come to our place. Like, we have a place in L.A. that has a studio and that is also kind of indoor-outdoor, and it's Wonderland. Mm-hmm. That's the name of it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, come here. And it was in the middle of the pandemic, so we were kind of having illegal parties. But they were safe because we were testing people.
Yeah.
And I looked around when I saw everybody coming in. Like, the vibe from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. felt one way. You know, like, you see people in the sun. You're looking at the swimsuits. You're in the pool. Then from 6 to 9, as the sun is going down, you're looking at the magenta sky. You're looking at, like, the mountains. And you're looking at people and how they're moving. And then it goes into night. People are sweating. Clothes are coming off. Like,
it feels like that.
Does it feel like that to you?
Yes. Yes.
Like, the greatest experience on earth. And I was just like, oh my God. If I could bottle this up, put it in, like, some type of bottle and sprinkle it around the world, like, I would do that. And I said that I have to musically, I have to capture what I'm seeing, because y'all have got to be here with me. This is life. This is, like, why we live. This is what we fight for. This is what we fight to protect. And what I would do is, it started with that party. I was like, I want to make music for these people, these Black and brown people from Ghana to Atlanta to South Africa to L.A. to Jamaica to the Caribbean. Like, I want New York. Mm-hmm. I want all of us to have a soundtrack to this lifestyle. And what I would do is I would make songs, like, Monday, Tuesday, make the music, and then I'm like, if these songs can't work at that party, they're not coming on the album. I got really intentional, because it mattered. Yeah. I was like, I want them to be able to put on my music and play it.
At every party.
I don't want us always having to go here or there or whatever. Stay. I'm about to make some music for us. And so that's how I made the album.
Yeah.
That's how I made it.
But what is that feeling? So what are we trying to capture? Like, what is the...
the smiles of like two gorgeous black women looking at each other that don't know each other. They may be from Jamaica or Atlanta or South Africa or whatever, just like admiring each other from across the room, you know, or even that guy that's in the pool with his drink looking over at you and y'all staring at each other. The sweat that's dripping off the bodies, the breasts of us. Like, all I could think about is Nina Simone being like, an artist's job is to reflect the times. And a time was had. All I could think about
is...
Right. All I could think about is Maurice White, like I said last night, from Earth, Wind & Fire, saying, if there ain't no beauty, you got to make some beauty. Have mercy. Like, if there ain't no beauty, meaning everything that's going on in our world, you're never going to be exempt of problems. We always going to have something going on that is heavy. In the middle of all that, make your beauty.
Ooh, I love that. I want to ask you about float season.
Come on, ask me. Ask me anything. Did we do? Let's do another cheers. We are here.
We are here, present.
IRL, and very present. Very present.
Ooh. Okay, so there's a few different areas of float that I'm interested in.
Yeah.
One is the sexuality of it. And the comfort in the sexuality of it. Right? Like, so how does that? You gotta imagine me, right? I was doing hip hop radio at a very young age, and I always was like, I'm gonna wear baggiest clothes I could ever wear because I don't want the guys on the other side of the mic over there trying to like look at me in any way except for what the conversation we're having. So I came into the game on some shying away from sexuality. You know what I mean? And if I'm being honest, and I'm almost embarrassed to say this, almost a little judgmental of people who were overtly sexual. I almost assumed they were using that as a shortcut to things.
Wow.
If I'm being honest, I've evolved a lot since then. I learned to almost admire it.
Yeah.
It went from like judgmental about it to admiring it. Because at some point it goes from like, you shouldn't have to wear anything to be anything.
Right.
And everybody operates through sexuality and being public about sexuality in different ways. And you navigate it however it makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah.
But I feel like this album is, you've always been kind of comfortable. Somewhat. This is my interpretation. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, go ahead.
Correct me if anything is
go
not
ahead.
On.
These are your thoughts.
But you, to me, it seems you are far more comfortable in the conversation, at least in the music. Is that something you think about? How much does it play in the art?
This is great. I'm so happy you asked me this question.
Really?
This is great. No, it's important that we have these discussions about how we've evolved. And it's also kind of sad in a sense because when I think about misogyny, when I think about the patriarchy, when I think about how we as energies, have sort of been like programmed into believing that just because you dress this way, you don't deserve this amount of respect.
Yeah.
Or this is a respectable way of dressing. Mm-hmm. I remember like when I wore my suit, a lot of people would push those respectability politics on me and I hated it.
Yeah.
Hated it. I'm like, you think I wear a suit because what?
Right, because I'm anti.
Because I'm anti that.
Somebody who's not that.
You don't get the message. Like, the message has always been about agency, about me choosing how I want to express myself. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not about anything other than that. Mm-hmm. It's about having the autonomy to say, this is what I think is cool right now. Mm-hmm. Like, I like how this looks. Mm-hmm. I'm paying homage. I want to do this. I want to do that. And it's so interesting. Like, I don't think I've ever told this story, but this is... this was early on in my career. And I remember I was just wearing my tuxedos, wearing my suits. I thought it was cool. I was paying homage to my working class family. I was, you know, like I loved, and it could have been, maybe I was non-binary then. I was like, I was pushing back against gender norms. And I was like trying to find my way because I grew up publicly being famous. So it's like, I don't have everything is not always about, oh, I'm trying to sell this. I'm expressing myself because I'm growing. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with
a marketing plan.
Right.
Yeah.
Nigga, I'm growing. I'm trying to understand what I like and who I am. And, you know, okay, I like that. I don't like that. Like, that's just real. I remember I went on a red carpet and I was so excited. I wore this white blazer with black lapels and I didn't have a shirt on under it. Mm. I didn't have a shirt on under it. So I only showed my cleavage. And so it was probably like that, like, if the cameras can roll in.
Can we get a close-up of her cleavage? Guys, we need a close-up
of the moment where
cleavage.
You do a Zoom.
She's giving us permission.
I think my thing. Okay. So I did a outfit where
ow.
It was just like a little bit of cleavage.
Okay.
Just this
much. That's good.
Just this much showing. And I did a red carpet. Mm-hmm. And I got an email from somebody, you know, who was a mentor to me that I respected, that loved me. Was a man, mm-hmm. with the photo of me in the tuxedo with my cleavage, you know, showing, like, no, please don't do this. And I'm like, what? And I immediately, because I was also in a space of like, I also was dealing with rejection abandonment issues. So I thought like, I did something wrong. They're not going to love me anymore. Da, 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 da. I went through that whole thing and I was like, what did I do? What did I do? I'm wearing something that I like. And they were just like, you know, if you show this, then they're not going to take your message. Clear. They're not going to listen to what it is that you have to say. If I show my cleavage on the carpet, they're not going to listen to my messaging. And I remember going to do an interview after that, and I said that. And it's one of the things I regret, because they were so wrong. Mm. Like, that was so wrong of them to make me feel like I can't express myself or show my cleavage because, oh, it's going to overshadow. No, I'm owning all of me. I'm owning all of me and I'm showing up for me. And I think what you're seeing right now, Angie, is me showing up for me and me not allowing a man or a mentor or anybody to tell me that I can't own all of me. Mm. I can show titties. I can show ass. I can be in a suit. I can be in a swimsuit. I can drink. I can smoke weed. I can do all of that. I'm not in a respectability politics. I never was. And I think when you're taught at an early age, you know, oh, that person is sagging their pants, they're bringing the black community down. Like, respectability mm-hmm. politics is killing us. Spiritually.
Yeah.
It's killing us. Like, we don't talk about that enough. And I think what you see, and I've been doing it for years, is like trying my best to like dissolve that. And unlearn mm-hmm. all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that I think even if it's in a need to protect us, it's not right.
I want to go back to that respectability politics. But what did you say to this person? How do you handle
nothing.
That?
I said nothing.
You said nothing to this day? Let's call that person right now, live on the podcast.
I know, right? I said nothing because I really thought it. You know what it reminded me of?
But when they see like this, or you talking about this, will they know it's them if they see it? Yeah.
Perhaps they will. But here's the thing. It went back to like your uncles saying like, you're a good girl. Uh-huh. Don't be like them.
Yeah. That's their own. Yeah.
And it's so divisive mm-hmm. and it's so wrong. It's like we're all expressing ourselves. We live in, listen, how I express myself is because I'm a human. I'm an android. I'm who I am on earth. The music reflects how I'm living. It's not the other way around. I'm not going to make music to match or make music and then be like, so let me try to live like my music. No, it's like, this is who I am. This is where I'm at. I have to grow. I have to learn. I have to, you know, own all of me. And all of that will shine through my music, not the other way around. Mm-hmm. When I ascend, my music ascends.
Hmm. That makes sense. But there is people. And this is why I think it's brave, right? Because when I go back to sexuality, it's like people are a little obsessed with it.
Yeah.
And
I wonder why. I wonder if people are trying to figure out
their own. Often, probably. Yes, that is the case. But you know, as an artist and as a public figure,
mm-hmm.
It's like, it's going to be the headline.
Yeah.
It's going to be the thing that, it's going to be the...
Yeah.
It just is, right? Yes. And so does that affect how you address it, share, you know, because mm-hmm. if you want to be free about your life and you're making music about how you're living, but then you also have the real world and how yeah. gross it can be sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I guess what you know what I'm saying. Like, how do you navigate? How do you navigate that? Do you care? Do you?
These are amazing questions because people don't get it. Like, I'm thankful that you asked this question. That's part of the reason why a lot of people don't open up.
I know
people pick one part of who you are, and thank God. Like, I'm proud to be queer.
Yeah.
Like, I'm proud to be, you know. I've been in polyamorous relationships. I have been in monogamous relationships. Like, I honor my journey. You know what I'm yeah. saying? But speaking about it sometimes does come with a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
It comes with a lot of pressure to represent, you know, you're that one. So you need to say the right things, all that. I don't put that pressure on myself. I speak for me. I love, though, that people can identify with what it is that I'm saying and they feel... empowered, they feel seen. Mm-hmm. That's important.
Yes.
I remember where I was in my life and I remember loving Lauryn Hill. Mm-hmm. I felt seen. I felt mm-hmm. like, I love Lauryn. This is where I'm at, you know? But now I'm where I'm at here and I know that perhaps I might be that to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
right? But I think that a lot of people are, you know, they might not want that attention. And I never feel like people should feel pressured. And this goes back to when people say, well, why didn't you come out about your sexuality? I've seen them say this to people
yeah.
after years. They're mm-hmm. like, well, what took you so long? And I'm like, this is like, it's a lot
yeah.
to be famous
yeah.
and have to talk about that. And then it becomes, that's the only thing folks,
uh-huh.
you know, want to say. And people want to, I keep saying people, I'll say myself.
Yeah.
I'm a person who wants to be all of me.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I am this. And yes, I'm also this.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm that. Yes, I'm also this. And I think that does put some pressure. And if you're shy and if you're introverted or...
Or maybe you just...
You don't want to.
Yeah, maybe you just don't want to say all that stuff.
And I feel like there's nothing wrong with that.
The part of that part of your life that...
Yeah.
This is why I almost am like, I didn't want to bring it up because I'm like, if I'm her... That's annoying to me. You know, I'm trying yeah. to be in your, like, if I'm you,
yeah.
and people ask me about that all the time, I'm annoyed by that
yeah.
for you. But
mm-hmm.
And I will ask you the one part of it that is interesting to me, and we could throw it away if you're not interested in talking mm-hmm. about it. But I'm fascinated about, like, because it is it, like how you say people couldn't relate to you because of that. Maybe
yeah.
somebody feels seen.
Yeah. yeah.
Even somebody who's probably in it right now. Like,
sure.
How do you get to the point where you... find comfort in claiming
yeah.
Whatever your thing is. And
yeah.
I just
yeah.
wonder if there were challenges for you in getting to that point.
You know what's scary, Angie? Is the laws that they're making.
What do you mean?
Against trans people.
Mm.
Like, against the LGBTQIA+ community. They are making laws right now. Governors. To stop schools from talking about anything that mentions LGBTQIA+ communities. Anything that mentions black folks, critical race theory. Like, you can go to jail in certain states for performing a drag show.
That's insanity. Well, there's all the crazy things going on
yeah.
in the world with abortion rights and all
right.
that. Yeah, yeah.
There's a real, it's all connected.
It's, yeah.
And so when I think about that, I'm like, yeah, I'm proud. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to make sure that when it's time to vote, because when you start messing with people's rights to be who they are, I will always have a problem with you mm-hmm. with that. And I will always feel like with my platform and with who I am, just as my life, like I'm not about to sit back and take that shit. Like imagine if I wasn't famous.
Mm-hmm.
really, like, imagine if I wasn't who I was and I was living in my hometown, mm-hmm. Kansas. You know, they tried to absolutely, like, pass, you know, anti-abortion rights and LGBTQIA plus, like, right, like, I'm in a Bible Belt, you know, conservative place. I'm not famous. I'm in my house. My whole family agrees with these people that, you know, gay people shouldn't have rights and all this shit. Like, imagine, I'm imagining myself as that person, as that young queer person who's, you know, whole life is tied to their family and they're ostracized now because for being them. Mm. I don't know why people think that being gay or being queer just came out.
New shit.
Like, right. We putting you on that new. Like, what? People being gay. People being queer. People being trans. People being non-binary. Mm. Maybe.
In the 1980s, Frank Farian was riding high as a successful German music producer, but he was bored.
German pop was formulaic, dull, and oh so white. Frank had bigger dreams, American dreams. He wanted to create the kind of music that would rival larger-than-life artists like Michael Jackson or Run DMC.
So he assembled a hip-hop duo, two once-in-a-lifetime talents who were charismatic, full of sex appeal, and phenomenal dancers. The only problem? One very important element was missing, but Frank knew just how to fix that.
Wondery's new podcast, Blame It on the Fame, dives into one of pop music's biggest controversies. Milli Vanilli set the world on fire, but when their adoring fans learned about the infamous lip-syncing, their downfall was swift and brutal. With exclusive interviews from frontman Fab Morvan and his producers Frank Farian and Ingrid Segee, this podcast takes a fresh look at the exploitation of two young Black artists.
Follow Blame It on the Fame wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Blame It on the Fame early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Have you been thinking about LASIK but not sure if you're a candidate? Just go to LASIK.com/quiz and take our free candidacy quiz. In just a few minutes, you'll know if LASIK is likely right for you. And if it is, we'll connect you with experienced LASIK doctors in your area. Start your journey towards 20/20 vision. Take our free candidacy quiz at LASIK.com/quiz. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
L-A-S-I-K. LASIK.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There wasn't language with it.
Yeah.
But history shows us, like, they've been doing this. This is not, we have been who we've been throughout history. And what makes me say I can't just sit back and, like, I don't want to talk about that. No, mm-hmm. I'm proud.
Yeah.
And I'm standing with my people, and we're not going to allow you to impede on our human rights.
What do you say to that little girl? That little girl who's not famous, mm-hmm. who's in that family right this second.
Man, you have so much family even outside of your family.
Mm.
Family to me can be chosen family. Family is who loves you right now, who loves you for who you are, who's not making you live in fear, you know, who's not making you want to kill yourself. Like, you have the suicide rate level, and I'm not trying to make, you know, I don't want to make this heavy, but this is the reality that we're going through.
Sometimes real life.
Right? Because sometimes that little girl is, like, they don't see another way. They don't see that there's family for you. And I'm just here to tell you there's family for you. I love you. Mm. Come to the concerts if you can. Like, you will meet people just like you. That's what I've tried to do. When I wrote Dirty Computer, the last project, I was like, oh, this is going to be church for people whose own church won't accept them.
How did you navigate through that? Like, through your family and the church? And
Look at my eyes.
I mean, you do it so gracefully and so well. And it seems like, you know, you're like composed and you're artistic. Yeah. And so it just seems like it comes easy to you. But I can't imagine. I got to imagine it hasn't always. Like, how did you come into that?
Let me tell you. I mean, as I think about it, you know, like I mentioned earlier, like imagining myself not being famous, not being who I was, being little Janelle and having to go through this. Whew. And I've had little cousins who've had to go through it and I've had to be their refuge. They call me, they text me, and I'm like, I love you. Like, I know that your family is in that space where they're using the Bible or they're using religion as a whip. Just know that I love you. You are not, it's not a choice. This is who you are. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot more people out there like you. And I just wish, now I'm sure, like I had to do that healing too. I'm showing up for little Janelle. Mm-hmm. You know, little Janelle couldn't say, fuck y'all. Little Janelle couldn't say, fuck y'all.
Mm-hmm. What did you say?
This is who the fuck I am.
What did little Janelle say?
Little Janelle probably was scared, or not probably, but scared and just, you know, you're in, this is your community, you know, like you're like, I don't want to be bullied. I don't want to draw attention. And mind you,
because I think outside of sexuality, even just anywhere where you're
anywhere
where you are deemed to be
when you're
something else than what your immediate community,
when you're different.
Yeah.
You're going to always like people are going to test you. That's just reality. I just remember even as an artist, you know, people always wanted to test you or challenge you or you know, be like, why are you doing this? You know, you just want to be different. You're not really different. And you just have to, you got to be brave. It takes a lot of bravery to walk in your truth. Even in that, what was I going to say?
We got lost.
We got lost. You know what? We're going to get lost. What's the next?
We get lost. It's all about flow and loss and just going with the moment.
We floating.
I keep saying flow. It is float. Let me tell you what float. This is probably so completely, and sometimes you probably make art in it. People receive it, not necessarily how you made it.
Mm-hmm.
But float to me is like what it brought up for me. It's like, just like that freeness of being in the moment and stuff. Mm. And it made me think of a story. And I was like, maybe I'll share that today. That my grandmother passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
She was like this amazing heart. She worked 25 years at the hospital, worked her whole life, 2 hours on the train. Mm. You know, hard worker like you talked about.
Yeah.
But she was stressed out about everything in life. Everything would stress her out. If I told her I was coming at 3 and then changed it to 5, everything would stress her out. I used to do this to her because she would always be like this. So I literally with my fingers would try to like unravel her little frown. Unfurl her brow so she would relax.
Bless her
anyway,
heart.
So I was at the hospital when she passed and her face looked like 10 years younger.
Oh.
Have you ever seen somebody pass like in real time?
Not in real time. So I haven't.
I watched her go.
Wow.
And I watched her face go, and I watched the furl smooth. And I swear I was looking at my grandmother like, oh my God, she looks 10 years younger. Like in moments.
Yeah.
From the time she was alive to the time she was gone. And then it was like she 10 years gone.
Wow.
And in that moment I looked at, I was like, wow, I wanna learn how to do that while I'm here.
Yeah.
Whatever she just experienced. Right?
Yes. Yes. That's
like,
it.
Whatever she just experienced, I want to do that while I'm here.
That's it.
Right?
I feel that.
And
you
don't
even
know why.
Say no more.
Okay.
So I see it. I feel it. I'm into that vision. Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, when I was listening to the song, it brought up that memory and that thought for me. Random.
Wow.
I know that's not what the song is about, but it did bring up for some reason.
But it is about that.
Kind of.
It yeah. is about releasing. Yeah.
If nothing else you don't That's get it. Inspired by this conversation, is to float, is to be what? Free.
You had to let, here, I had to let things go. I had to let shit go.
What'd you let go?
In order to float.
What'd you let go?
Like in the lyrics, I say, I used to let niggas get to me. I used to be my own enemy. Now I done had several epiphanies over some breakfast at Tiffany's. Had to forgive all my frenemies. They are not who they pretend to be. Ooh, I had to protect all my energy. I'm feeling much lighter. Now I float. It's a lot. It's a lot going on right there.
That's so good.
I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
You know, once you realize, like, you are the author of your thoughts and how you think, and you have to be vigilant about your joy, vigilant about what you tell yourself, what you feed yourself. Like, somebody can go say something like, oh, I think Janelle Monáe is this, or I think she's this, or I think she's this. They can say all these things. But when you're dealing with trauma, it can attach to that trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, oh, I believe it. You're right. I am this person. I am that. I am. Oh, I can't do this. I'm not. But when you have let that go, you've done the healing, you've done the work. And let me be mindful. I don't know who's watching this. Everybody can't have therapy. I understand that. It should be fucking free.
It should be.
Right?
I tried to give therapy on this one. Free therapy when we can.
God bless you.
Yeah,
like, no, therapy should
I
be
know,
free.
I get it.
Nobody should have to go through life suffering.
Yeah.
That breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
When it breaks my heart that everybody
cannot have. It makes life so much harder when you don't unravel the shit that people can trigger on, that latch onto that trauma.
So I had to unravel. I had to go back to my childhood. I had to realize I had abandonment issues. I had, rejection issues. Like, when did this happen? When did this start? And understanding that and knowing it and being aware, hyper aware of when it comes up again. Oh, that's just that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's just that. Oh, I know what it is. That's just that. I have a name for it. I understand that that's linked to something that happened to me in the past. This is my moment to correct it. I can correct it. It's kind of like Back to the Future. I get to correct some things that have happened that show up. And here's the thing you need to know about energy for me. It manifests itself in different ways. So you may think, like, I've mastered that. Like, I've gotten through that. It'll come back up and disguise itself as a friend or an opportunity that you now have to work through. You now have to navigate that. But you'll know. You'll see it. You'll be like, this is the next test. It's like a video game. I really do think that we are in a matrix.
I think so, too. I feel that.
It's a video game.
Yeah.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. And you play the game. And you play it well. And you can also create your own matrix within this matrix. And what I do is, if I know that I created this matrix, if I'm believing, oh, this is true, that's true, that's true, that's true, I can undo my matrix.
Mm-hmm. Give us the biggest trick to do that. Do you have, like, what's the one thing you do that works?
Well, if I tell you that, that means
you might heal someone that's watching.
I might heal someone, yes. And that's what I want. I want people to be free. Let me look at my notes.
Yeah, this give is me the real. This give me your one. Real, give me one of your tools. You can't leave us. You can't leave us today without knowing
this
one of
is
them
like,
tools.
Let me give y'all some gems. Or these are things that I work.
Okay.
That work for me.
Okay.
All right. I'm better than this moment. It will pass.
Ooh, so good.
Don't be afraid to be a beginner.
Yes.
You don't have to have everything fucking figured out all the time. You could be a beginner.
It's okay.
Be a beginner. It's fine.
It's the only way to do something new. It's the only way.
When you think you have it figured out versus when you don't, you're at conflict. You've sold yourself a dream that's not a reality. You're a beginner. Own it.
Ooh.
If I give grace to you, I must give grace to myself. It's nobody else that should get more grace than I give to myself. Mm. So that's patient. And this is who I have an emotional support coach. That's what I like to call her.
Love that.
And she's one of my best friends, Kelly. We came up with this together. I love myself at and in every evolution, both beneficial and non-beneficial, good, bad, or indifferent. I honor myself for operating in the fullness that I could at that time and at that space. I'm proud of myself for the bravery to grow. I'm proud of myself for finding tools and figuring this shit out. I will give myself grace to figure it out. Grace to stumble. Grace to pause. I highlight and I cancel. This is my favorite. I highlight and I cancel all contracts and agreements that don't serve me for my highest good.
Mm.
And I give myself permission to evolve as often as I need to in any way that I need to without explanation. I'm not explaining shit.
Yes. I'm going to memorize this.
I'll send it to you.
I need that.
I'll send it to you.
We're going to post that as a clip and we're going to put the words up so it just goes in your head and it's good.
To the lives we lead.
To the lives we lead.
To the dreams we chase.
To the dreams we chase.
To the moments that we make and to the fucked up shit we can't erase.
To the moments we make and fucked up shit we can't erase.
Cheers to you,
Sonia. Salute, baby.
You're so amazing. Proud of you.
In real life, what do you want to be remembered for?
I want to be remembered for a free ass motherfucker.
Yes, bitch.
I didn't let nobody define me. I gave everything I had. And I did the best that I absolutely could. But yeah, I think a free. You know what? I'm going to stop. Free ass motherfucker.
Free ass motherfucker?
Free ass motherfucker.
The way, that's how we should just end it.
That's it.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.